and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The faithful are paying final respects to Pope Francis after his coffin was transferred to St. Peter's Basilica this morning. Sylvia Cantu Stewart traveled from Texas for the canonization of a new saint.
So our plans have changed, and we feel that it's a God incident that we're here, but sad, but blessed to be here.
President Trump is trying to calm fears after the IMF warned his new tariffs will slow down the U.S. and global economies. About tariffs on China, he says,
145% is very high, and it won't be that high. Not going to be that high.
Some evacuation orders lifted now after a massive wildfire forced 3,000 people from their homes in Ocean County, New Jersey. Danny Johnson lives in Toms River.
What's surprising is that it's been raining a lot for the last month. So where this came from, I think it took a lot of people by surprise, honestly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin State Senate has passed a bill that would expand Medicaid coverage for postpartum moms. Savannah Tolme Olson explains why this bill, with broad bipartisan support, still may not become law.
The bill would give women who gave birth an entire year of coverage under Medicaid. Currently, they get it for 60 days. Moms get this year-long coverage in almost every state in the nation. The only exceptions are Arkansas and Wisconsin. And advocates say it saves lives. From 2019 to 2021, Wisconsin had a 30% increase in deaths among pregnant and postpartum women. Democrat Melissa Ratcliffe on the Senate floor.
63 moms died with pregnancy-related issues from 2020 to 2022. One-third of those deaths occurred more than 60 days postpartum. So 21 moms died because they didn't have access to the care that they needed.
Of the 63 women who died, 76% of them were on Medicaid at the time their babies were born. That's according to the DHS legislative director. This bill has broad bipartisan support in both the Senate and the Assembly. The Senate passed it almost unanimously yesterday, and they did the same thing in the last session. But here's the thing. A bill can't pass if it's not called for a vote, and it can't be called for a vote unless the Speaker says so. Speaker Robin Voss had previously said he doesn't support the measure because the state gives out too much free stuff. Here's what he had to say about it yesterday.
My position's been fairly clear from the very beginning. I've never supported an expansion of welfare. I can't imagine that I would ever support one. But we have to talk about it as a clock and see where everybody else is.
The expansion would cost $18.5 million. Wisconsin currently has a surplus of more than $4.5 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Another slow start for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs. The Bucks fell behind early and tried playing catch up again. They lost to the Pacers 123-115. Head coach Doc Rivers.
We've gotten off to two poor starts, and we got to make an adjustment there for sure.
Bucks center Brook Lopez.
They've been the aggressor. We haven't. You know, we keep spotting them 10-point leads at least. The beginning of the first, the beginning of the third, and that's pretty much the game. It's tough when we start the game like that, when we start the half like that, and obviously we got to change that.
Indy now leads the series 2-0. Game 3 Friday night in Milwaukee. Baseball. The Brewers with a decisive 11-3 win over the Giants. The crew with an 8-run rally in the 6th. Most of the batters facing a 2-strike, 2-out count.
I mean, that's baseball. You have to be a 2-out, 2-strike hitter. You have to do things. The inning's not over with 2 outs, nobody on. The inning's not over with, you got to be willing to do that kind of stuff.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We'll see a little sunshine this morning with scattered afternoon showers or even a thunder shower possible. Our high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the low to mid 40s. Tomorrow, more scattered rain with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Oh, outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Welcome to our new 3-hour program. New name, catchy new ditties and graphics and more guests, and we really appreciate you being here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. If you're tuning in for the first time, founding editor of Up North News, you can find our work over at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up this hour, we're going to be hearing from Green Bay Mayor Eric Enrich about some transparency issues with property tax bills and the NFL draft. And we're going to talk about these topics as part of our homeroom segment as well with State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner and with Denise Gomer-Hutchinson from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. So we've got a lot of ground that we're going to travel today during this hour, a very busy hour. We're going to start, as we always do, at the 7 o'clock hour with meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Melissa Kay hanging around from WFHR and WIRI as well. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm ready for a warmer day. How are you?
We are too. It was we'll walk the neighbor's dog late each day, and it was, you know, the warmest, best day so far to take the little puppy for a jaunt. That puppy needs it. That puppy's got a lot of energy. So having a pleasant day makes all the difference. What can you tell us about today's forecast?
Oh, it sure does. Well, we're starting off crisp and cool up north. Temperatures are hanging out in the mid to low 30s, right around that freezing mark into Superior. We've got more clouds north and spots of sun down south with high temperatures. Temperatures this morning already in the mid 50s. But we've got some scattered showers pushing in far southwest, and those are going to work their way across the state line in towards Madison and Milwaukee as we go through late morning. And we're also looking at a little dry break this afternoon. So it's not going to be a washout day today, but we do have more showers and storms that want to spark up later tonight as this warm front lifts through the state and it moves its way into northern areas by early tomorrow morning. So what we're looking at for highs today, mid-60s to upper 60s far north. We're also looking at some 70s that are potentially going to be tapped down south. And we're going to hang on to the heat tomorrow, too. South, you're still going to hit 70 degrees tomorrow. Mid-50s for the north tomorrow with more rain on the way. Of course, that rain is expected to ramp up tomorrow night, overnight, and into our Friday morning before this kicks on out of here. So if you are headed to the draft in Green Bay, going to want a poncho for early Friday morning and then potentially late on Thursday. Otherwise, you're looking dry and comfortable, actually.
Okay. So it'll get some rainy attention at the beginning, but if folks hang on through it all, it's going to be a good party through and through. Melissa, do you pay any attention to the draft? Will you do so now that it's
I'm
in Green
Bay? I'm excited to plant some grass seed and watch my grass grow.
Melissa Kay would rather watch grass grow than the NFL draft. Fine, we'll put you in that column. That's all right. We understand. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Have a good day.
All right. Yep. Melissa, again, is directing a play, thanks to the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Noises Off is coming up next week. So we wanted to make sure people knew again to head over to wrctheater.org. Theater with an R-E, not an E-R. Is this the first time you've directed something there?
It is at WRCT, yes. I have directed previously in Tolma at ACT and for Maryland School of Dance.
Have they always been comedies? Because you're kind of this light, funny, pleasant, bubbly person. Or does it turn out you actually love to do dramas?
I love to act in dramas. Mm-hmm. And I would love to direct a drama someday. Yes, absolutely. I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
I directed a play once.
Did you?
Did you?
I directed a play about H.H. My friend Eric and I directed a play about H.H. Holmes for a Halloween show.
Oh,
yeah, it was very, very long.
Okay, I got to make a note to look up H.H. Holmes.
Oh, don't.
Okay.
It's not a great subject.
Okay. Oh. Melissa, what are folks hearing on radio in the Wisconsin Rapids area on Civic Media these days?
We are moving our morning show to start after your morning show, Pat, so we don't want to conflict with you anymore.
Aww.
So on WFHR, we will start our morning show at 9. And we'll run from 9 to 11 instead of 8 to 10. And then our midday magazine show that runs in the afternoons is actually getting rebranded to The Rapids Report. And it will be exclusively available on podcast.
Oh.
Because that's where people are listening. So
The Rapids Report. I like it.
Yeah, that's where you'll hear from all of our local representatives, nonprofits, teachers, the school district.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of great guests on that show.
That's awesome. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the update on that, because again, we don't normally get time in the history segment to get everything that's happening there. And so folks need to know again. Yes.
One more thing. We're going to expand the morning show on WIRI, our country station, to go from 7 to 9. So it gets extended by an hour.
All right. So many options. And by the way, I mean, you guys read the internal memos. The Civic Media not only has this wonderful, you know, talk and news network, but the number of music stations it's acquired continues to grow and grow. I mean, we're just becoming quite the little powerhouse out now, aren't we?
Our own little ecosystem.
Yes, here in Wisconsin Radio. So proud to be a part of it. Melissa, thank you so much. Hope you have a great day. Thanks for sticking around a little bit.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Green Bay on a couple of different fronts. One related, of course, to the NFL draft, which is coming up, tomorrow night is when things get going here. But the other is related to something we've talked about frequently on Wednesday mornings in our homeroom segment, and that is the growing expense of the voucher school program that others refer to as school choice, that siphons money off of what should go to public schools and diverts it to private, normally religious schools, many of which those students' families have been able to afford previously but are now getting taxpayer funds for it. One of the things that I have watched legislators fight for over the years, obviously on the Democratic side of things, is transparency. Because right now, in many places, you look at your property tax bill, and we'll pick on Chippewa Falls here where I'm sitting, and you'll see, you know, Chippewa Falls School District is costing this much money on your property tax bill. And people want to shake their fist and go, oh, these public school districts. What they don't know, because it's not clear on the property tax bill, is how much money is actually siphoned off of that and goes to the voucher school program. And the folks in Green Bay got a little bit tired of that, and they have fought for some greater transparency on those bills. So I talked to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich yesterday about that. We'll talk again in just a bit with State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner and with Denise Comer-Hutchinson from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. But while I was talking to Mayor Genrich about the draft, I also asked him about this issue of property tax transparency on the bills. But of course, I had to start by asking if the excitement was continuing to build for the NFL draft at Lambeau Field.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time. At this point, so it's exciting to be in draft week, and we're really ready to go. I mean, people in town are super excited about welcoming hundreds of thousands of people into Green Bay. We've got some great activities planned to kind of complement what's going on at the draft event itself, and so we're psyched to get into it.
I just think that anybody that's come here from a visiting team always comments on the hospitality of the fans and the friendliness. And that's with a game going on. So if there's no game going on, I mean, you can only imagine how welcome out-of-state visitors are going to feel when they get here.
Yeah, it really, to your point, it really plays to our strengths. I mean, one thing that our folks really take seriously is their role as ambassadors. Even as you said, when you've got a rival team coming into Lambeau, we really pride ourselves on being hospitable in spite of the rivalry that's going to play out on the field. So you take the game out of the equation. You're just, welcoming in people who love football, who love their teams, and everybody can win draft day, right? That's that's kind of the fun part about it. And so, I think people are going to have a great experience.
Yeah, truly it is just like, waving somebody into your tailgate and saying, here, I got a brat for you over here.
Right.
Let me ask you about a recent news event dealing with transparency on the property tax bills in Green Bay. And you were the tiebreaker on this issue. And we're going to talk more about this in our homeroom section coming up in just a bit. But from your standpoint, what was the issue? What is it that's bringing greater transparency when it comes to the cost of the voucher school program in Wisconsin to your city's property taxpayers?
Yeah, so this has been something that our school board has been asking of the city for some time. It failed when it was brought forward by our previous council. It was brought forward again in our latest council session by our alder, Alyssa Prophet, who had been in conversation with the school district about this issue. And from our perspective, it really is just about transparency, right? There's about $9 million associated with the school district's levy. That is the result of the voucher program here within the Green Bay School District. And the district was really interested in just making that information known to people when they receive their property tax bill. The city of Green Bay is the entity that controls how that information goes out in tandem with the county and with the Department of Revenue, making sure everything is formatted appropriately. But we just felt it was a good way to be transparent about how people's tax dollars are spent.
And it seems like the kind of thing that could have been done a long time ago by the legislature. And as a former legislator, I know that you saw some of those efforts to increase transparency statewide.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't recall exactly how long those efforts have been ongoing. But to your point, it's something that some legislators have been talking about for some time. I checked in with Senator Hansen, one of your former colleagues, who is obviously still in our area here. And something that he had been working on with colleagues down in Madison. And so hopefully we've created a little bit of a playbook for other municipalities who are interested in providing that information to their residents.
We would hope so. And again, we thank Mayor Eric Enrich of Green Bay for talking to us a bit about that and more coming up on this subject in just a little bit. But first, a little sports at 7:17. Christian Yelich had a grand slam last night in San Francisco, the fifth of his career and his fifth home run on the season. It was his first grand slam in more than 3 years. But that and a Jake Bowers two-run homer led to an 8-run sixth inning, and the Milwaukee Brewers beat San Francisco 11-3 over the Giants last night. Jose Quintana remains unbeaten after allowing one run and six hits in six innings of work. Game 3 will be tonight in San Francisco. The pregame coverage will begin at 8:10 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward across the Civic Media Radio Network. The Milwaukee Bucks are already in dire straits in the playoffs, down 0-2. Once again at the hands of the Indiana Pacers, who beat the Bucks last night 123-115. The Bucks lost despite the return of Damian Lillard after about a month-long health scare, and he is still trying to get back into playing condition. The Bucks have now, over the past couple of seasons, have lost 5 of their last 6 playoff games to the Indiana Pacers. Game 3 will be Friday in Milwaukee. If you're outside of the Milwaukee area, it's NBA TV that you're going to have to go to find that game and see if the Bucks can stave off facing elimination already at this point in the season. Fingers crossed, to put it that way. Want to remind you as well that you can get our daily newsletter. Sign up over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, where we talk about Independent Bookstore Day coming up this weekend and the importance of independent bookstores around Wisconsin. Coming up, we will visit with State Assembly Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner and Denise Gomer-Hutchinson about adding that transparency to the property tax bills in Green Bay. When it comes to showing the true cost of all those private voucher school dollars being siphoned away from public education. We will also take note of that other big event in Green Bay, that NFL draft that's coming up tomorrow night. And then at 8:30, we will have Melissa Baldoff in here with our weekly climate check and more political headlines from around Wisconsin. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Given the concerns about tariffs, inflation, and the economy, we may see some instability in the financial markets. As an investor, how can you cope? Your best strategy can be summed up in one word: diversification. It can't guarantee profits or prevent all losses, but it can help you manage risk and market fluctuations. Here's why. Different types of financial assets can move in different directions at any given time, so stocks may be up while bonds are down, or vice versa. If you own both of these types of assets, and others besides, your portfolio would likely fare better than if you only owned one type of asset and that asset was affected by a market downturn. How you diversify your portfolio will depend on your own risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. But however you do it, diversification should always be a driving force behind your investment strategy.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones financial advisor in Wisconsin Rapids. Contact him at 715-421-0958.
Your Republican Senator Patrick Teston wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Patrick Teston at 608-266-3123 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR. Paid for by the Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right now, we always look forward to these interviews. We got Promise Bakken in with us, Marketing and Communications Director with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Promise, always good to have you in. Good to
Thank
see you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we'll be talking with Emily in a little bit. Emily is with the ACE Leadership Program. She's a participant over there. Emily, we'll be putting you to work. I mean, talking with you in just a little bit. Thanks for being here, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
Promise, I want to kick things off with you and some of the great events going on over at the Chamber. If you don't mind, if we could rewind just a day, I was really curious how things went with our friends over at El Cafe. We love El Cafe. They're our birthday and anniversary sponsor. We work really closely with them.
Yeah.
How did the networking at night go last night?
Yeah, the networking at night last night over at El Cafe in Port Edwards was really good. We saw a lot of new faces there. I was really excited about that. I think there was at least three new businesses that are not currently members that showed up to that networking and night event. And then there was a lot of new faces where I was trying to get some of our members like come and network with us at networking at night, and they showed up too. So I was pretty excited about that. Their food was great. They had like chips and like four different types of dip and cheese curds and some chicken wings. They had a whole bunch of food there. It was really great.
The only trick with doing the networking at El Cafe is anybody going to talk? Their mouths are going to be so full of food and everything. That's great to hear. Really good to hear. And shout out to El Cafe and you guys doing that. Because the networking night is networking with the Chamber is such a popular event. It's a fun one. I know people look forward to it. And I know we were talking a little bit about over here maybe possibly sometimes. We'll work on that. Because boy, you guys are booked when it comes to those.
For the remainder of 2025, and we're working on our 2026 list for member businesses that will be wanting to host it. So if there is anybody out there that's interested in hosting that, please do reach out because we are starting to fill 2026.
So. Somebody right here. I gotta reach out. So let's talk about something on the way, and that is Networking Exchange for Safety Professionals. This is an informative one and a great one happening over in Mid-State.
Yeah, so our Network Exchange for Safety Professionals is tailored to those smaller businesses that don't really have a safety department. So we kind of get all the safety department heads from, you know, other businesses in the area and set them down at a round table and have open conversations about different topics. Sometimes we bring in a speaker. This time we're going to be bringing in Andy DeWitt from, he's the head of security from Midstate. He's great. He's going to cover critical incidents and active shooters and the best policies and practices that you can utilize in a scenario like that. And I think that's a really great information for even some of our smaller businesses in the area where they might not have had any kind of formal training or any kind of information at all whatsoever covering those types of topics. This is a free event for our chamber members. It's happening on April 30th from 11 a.m. to 12:30, again, over at Midstate Technical College in Wisconsin Rapids. Registration does close on April 23rd, and we will provide a light snack for those that, you know, can get the hangries during that lunch hour. So
it's always a smart idea. Yeah. It's very, very well thought out by you guys. Andy is really, really good at this. Not only with certainly the profession and the security end of things, but he's a good talker and really good explaining this stuff and sharing that information and the knowledge that he has. Like in opportunities like this is such a key thing for not just him but people in that industry and talking security. And I love that we are in a day and age now where so much of this information, it's not about, hey, pay me this and I'll give you this information. It's take the information. Please let me help. I want to do some good. I want to, you know, get this to everybody. Local businesses that can't necessarily afford to hire an Andy to come in and look over the shop and you know, help them with these kind of things. This can be so key for them. And this is another one of those things in life where, hey, hopefully you never have to break the glass. Right. You just know it's there. Yeah. And they have that peace of mind and that comfort for you and your employees and your customers that you know that. It's a really good idea to have that. That's a really good presentation. What are the dates and times for that again?
It'll happen on April 30th over at Midstate Technical College from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And registration for this one closes April 23rd.
Yeah, you want to get in on that right away.
That's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. It took me a second, too. Time is a flat circle. Yeah. It's all meshed together right now. Yes, be sure to go to heartofwisconsinchamber.com or wisconsinrapidschamber.com to register right now. Networking exchange for HR professionals is the next one I wanted to talk about with you, promise.
This one's very similar to the safety professionals.
They're all tongue twisters. Yeah. They're all tongue twisters
this
today.
This one's the same as the safety professionals one. It's kind of, again, a round table of, you know, if you're a business owner and you don't have an HR department or an HR director and you want to make sure that you're getting the right information from people in the area, you know, what are the laws that we need to comply to? What are some of the issues that you guys are seeing in the area? This was really helpful during COVID with a lot of people wondering, you know, how to address that. This one is happening on May 14th over at Express Recycling Solutions from 11:30 to 1 p.m. And there will be a light lunch at that one as well. We're going to have Attorney Dietrich covering the recent HR law changes and anticipated policy changes under the Trump administration and what that's going to look like as we move more into those changes in our area. This is free for members. Registration does close for this one on May 7th as well. And this is a really great one for like those small businesses out there that are not familiar or don't stay updated with all these different changes that he's implementing.
Yeah. So. And to be fair, these changes, I mean, could be happening right now as we're speaking. They happen so often, so frequent and infrequently. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable if a business out there, especially smaller mom and pop businesses, don't have all the key information on this. But, you know, this is one where I talked to and I've seen this happen where it's so hard to get a business up and running and then to make it successful. And then it falls apart or it closes shop because of an HR issue.
Right.
And that's a wide variety of things that could be. Mm-hmm. But imagine working so hard to get to this point and then it's all gone because of one thing that you could have helped.
Right.
And having an HR department or just at least having an update on what these rules and these regulations are and understanding that. There is no downside to that. There's no negative to that or anything. You have that information. It just makes your employees that much safer, more comfortable, which makes them better workers and makes you more money, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. This is a wonderful domino effect with literally no side effects to it. Now, I do think that it takes some time and some, you know, energy to put into and understand these things, but that's all right. You know, time is money. If you want to look at it that way, if you're a business and everything, and you're investing in your employees, you're investing in your company by doing this. And it's one of these things, too, where I've seen this more in the restaurant industry than any others. But the person that, you know, I try to save a buck or two here or there, or I try to save an hour or two here or there, and then you lose your business.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you own property on the Tri-Lakes, you can get free barley straw to help reduce algae bloom. The Tri-Lakes Management District includes Lake Arrowhead, Camelot, and Sherwood. Bags of barley straw are available for pickup outside the front of the Tri-Lakes building on Apache Avenue now through May or until the bags run out. The bags are to be secured under your piers, partially submerged in the water and allowed to decompose. Takes approximately 6 to 8 weeks for the decomposing straw to produce the natural chemical which inhibits algal growth. Mid to late April is the best time to use this method. Property owners can pick up 2 bags per pier. Bags should be removed after Labor Day, and you can use any remaining straw for fertilizer or ground cover if you wish. The Republican Party of Wisconsin introduced a new process for replacing local party officials last week. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The new rules were approved by the state Republican Party's executive committee in an attempt to cut down on what they call egregious behavior and infighting between state party leadership and local officials and organizers. The new code of conduct requires local, regional, and state party members to treat other party officials with respect, support candidates endorsed by the party, and prohibits harassment of other party members.
The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction said it has not received a response from the Department of Education after refusing to sign a request certifying that it is in compliance with the Trump administration's policies on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. The agency had previously announced it would not be signing the certification request, arguing that the request lacked clarity and threatened local control of the state's public school system. If the DPI does not comply with the policies, Wisconsin's public schools could lose crucial federal funding. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Will there ever be a sequel to The Big Lebowski? If Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore had their say, it would be absolutely. Unfortunately, it is the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, who seem against the idea. The Coen brothers have not made a sequel to any of their work, although Bridges said they do tend to surprise people sometimes. In addition to no sequels, the brothers also have not made a film together since 2018's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. When he's not trying to sell you his own products like Aviation Gin or Mint, Ryan Reynolds actually makes films. He starred opposite Hugh Jackman in 2024's Deadpool and Wolverine. Recently, Jackman took a good-natured swipe at his pal Reynolds by telling a crowd at Radio City Music Hall that Jackman was curiously left out of a dance scene in the film. Don't worry, there is no awkwardness. Jackman did assure everyone in the crowd they are bros for life. Thank goodness for that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We'll see a little sunshine this morning with scattered afternoon showers or even a thunder shower possible. Our high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, scattered showers with a low in the low to mid 40s. Tomorrow, more scattered rain with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee,
the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, look at us. Halfway through the first edition of a three-hour show here, morning 6 to 9 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow on the program, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, along with Joseph Pecky, Chad Holmes, a discussion about RFK Jr.'s rants about autism. But coming up later today, the new Matt and Air on Air start time.
Yeah.
9 to 11 following this fine program, and you have some fine guests coming up.
Today at 10:30, we have Rick Reed, who is a professor of economics, to really just talk to us about the economy and answer some basic questions and talk about also the bond market and how it affects the U.S. American stock market and our economy itself. At 11 o'clock, we have Sean Fetteplace from the Main Street Alliance to talk about how everything happening right now is really having an effect on small business, or as politicians like to call it, the backbone of America.
Do you know that that has absolutely nothing in common with the list that I had for guests today? And so now I'm wondering what the heck I was looking at.
I have no idea what you were looking at.
I was looking at Jim Santel, Lee Snodgrass, and Paul Noonan.
You're looking at tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow on Matt and Air on Air, Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, Representative Elise Snodgrass on her election interference bill, Paul Noonan of the Acme Packing Company, all about the Green Bay Packers.
Uh-huh.
What a recovery. Boy, I tell you, that was so smooth.
That's improv, baby. Yes,
that's
and.
Right.
Yes, and.
All that and more. Go to civicmedia.us for more about the stations and shows. We were talking about Green Bay, so we are going to welcome in State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner and Denise Comer-Hutchison from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Denise, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How about yourself?
Very good. Thank you for being here. And Ahmad, you're back here on the phone as well, correct?
Yes, I am.
That's right. So good to have you both here to be talking in our homeroom segment today about what's happening in Green Bay. And we heard from Mayor Eric Genrich off the top of this hour about the need for greater transparency when it comes to the voucher, aka school choice program in Wisconsin, and its impact on the property tax bills. Denise, let's start with you for folks that might have missed it early in the hour. What was it that the Green Bay City Council and the mayor decided to do, and why was that important?
Well, it's critical. And it's critical because, for example, I've chaired from the community perspective the last six referendas in the Green Bay Area Public School District. And that goes from the late 1990s, 2000, all the way through this last one that they did in November. And when you go to doors and you're talking to taxpayers, they say to you, well, why am I having to spend more when on my tax bill it says I'm giving this much money to public schools? And then you have to explain, well, it's not really all going to public schools. And you're also getting a tax credit back that nobody's talking about. And it really kept saying to us that we need more transparency. And so the school board did a great thing. They wrote a resolution asking the city to please help them with making a more transparent tax bill so that we could effectively speak to taxpayers about where their money is going.
So how exactly will that be structured then? I mean, will people really see that much of a breakdown as to, you know, how the dollars are moving?
Well, thanks to Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, or I should say Representative Rivera-Wagner, he was able to go to the Department of Revenue and get a letter explaining what they would be willing to accept on the tax bill. And you know from your time as a legislator that we have tried a number of times to put a bill through, legislation through, that would impact it and change it statewide, and we've been unsuccessful. So now we're going city council, county board to city council and county board.
Hey, if that's what has to get done, that's what has to get done. Alicia writes up on YouTube here. Oh, goodness, she writes, hearing Ahmad being referred to as representative is awesome. Ahmad, you have a lot of folks in your corner. Glad that you are in the position to tell us more about your own involvement with this and the benefit of the city council and the mayor making this decision for the taxpayers.
Well, I'm just so grateful to Denise. You know, the old adage is true, all politics is local. I know that too often, too many bills, really thoughtful bills, go to the legislature in Wisconsin to die. And so this started about a year ago where we really wanted to figure out, regardless of what position I ended up in, how can we ensure that everyday people can see the real impact of voucher schools on their tax bill, which is part of the issue for every referenda that we go into. And so Denise got this resolution passed by our school board, and we got to work. And some of the issues were simple and slightly complex. On your tax bill, there's a lot of regulation, legal regulation, about what you can and cannot put on there. So we had to do a lot of thinking and a lot of work to figure out that we could put the total cost of voucher schools in the cities for every tax bill and put it in bold to be explicit that this amount of money completely comes right off the top of your bill every year just to voucher schools before we even get to start spending money on teachers, on special education, on any of the things that schools need to do to make it go forward. And there was opposition, but what we found over and over again is that regular everyday people love transparency. We've watched different folks from conservatives, Republicans, nitpick everything from the postage stamps to absentee ballots to furniture at the local level. And there were too many, a small amount of folks that were opposed to tax transparency for voucher schools. So it was really exciting to see the community come out in support of this. Everyday regular people really support this. People were actually celebrating. And then we heard, as we went through this process, we can't believe it's that much money. We didn't know. And so knowing, as the old adage goes, is half the battle.
Exactly. With the cost of voucher schools now north of $700 million, it won't be long until it's a billion-dollar program if it continues to grow the way that it does. And Denise, there just does seem something ironic or nefarious that a group of conservatives in the legislature who do want to nitpick in the name of transparency every dime of government spending has been working so hard for years to hide or shield the true cost of the voucher school system to taxpayers. And it just seems to me it gives you this opportunity now that although it's going to last longer, you started in Green Bay, but like you said, you can now go from town to town, county to county, and let more people know about how much it's costing them to fund two parallel school systems in the state.
It's huge. And what's really cool is there are communities in Wisconsin that have been putting inserts in their tax bills. And we knew that we couldn't do that in Green Bay because it was the press and seal, you know, where you have the little edging around and there wasn't any place for an insert. And we knew that wasn't going to work. And when we did our research, we found out that they aren't looking at those inserts. They're looking at their tax bill. They want the factual information on their tax bill. They want to be able to see it, access it, and understand it.
We are talking to Denise Gomer Hutchison from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner from the Green Bay area. And Ahmad, the assembly recently in a committee was talking about a bill sponsored by Republicans that would ban local governments. They were talking specifically about Milwaukee from making certain aid payments to pregnant women. And the, you know, these state legislators wanted to micromanage what cities could do in terms of, you know, how they spent money in their budget. It raises the concern, should we be expecting a bill anytime now from some Republicans that would prevent cities like Green Bay from having this kind of transparency on property tax bills?
Fantastic question. So it's not just on folks experiencing health concerns. We're seeing a suite of bills from the Assembly on trying to eliminate local control from everything from gardens all the way up to the flag that can be flown, to the type of income programs that can be run. So there is a frustration, what it seems like, by my colleagues in the Assembly with municipalities having the ability to create innovative or thoughtful programming on these issues. But what is really exciting is that residents really like transparency. They like local control. And I never thought in my lifetime that this notion of local control and transparency, which often used to be a conservative mantra, somehow has flipped in this modern era where too many of us folks are saying, especially Democrats right now, we should have pro-transparency. We should be making sure that people understand the way that their government works, and we shouldn't be hiding behind the walls of bureaucracy. And so it's an exciting time to have regular people want to be on board with that. It's somewhat frustrating to watch the kind of new politics try to block the ability of local control and tax transparency. And just to like really put a fine-tuned comb on this, it really seems to be a struggle for folks in the Assembly to want to allow Milwaukee, the Green Bays, to be able to thrive. That the issue is we'd rather punish one or two cities than allow any city to be able to have the ability to be innovative or thoughtful or more transparent. And we really have to change those politics. You know this. In Wisconsin, especially in Green Bay, we take care of each other. We support each other. And that means by giving people the most information they need to make the decisions that are best for them and their families. And we can't hide behind bureaucracy. We have to be pro-transparency and excited that this effort is already getting attention across cities.
We were talking in the last hour about you could do an entire segment of beginning with I'm old enough to remember. And of course, at the time we were talking about Alta Vista and CompuServe and Ask Jeeves. I'm old enough to remember when Republicans were the party of local control, saying now it's they're the party of controlling the locals. And thankfully, some folks are rising above it, including Denise Comer Hutchison from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner. Obviously, big doings with the NFL draft coming to the Green Bay area. Ahmad, thank you so much for chatting with us earlier about that. Denise, thank you for all that you do. It was a pleasure to talk to you both today.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Now. Have a great day. Appreciate it very much. 7:47 now, and let's take a look at sports here very briefly to tell you that the Milwaukee Brewers had game two of their series in San Francisco. Christian Yelich had a grand slam, the fifth of his career, his fifth home run on the season. Jake Bowers had a two-run home run. The Brewers scored 8 runs in the sixth inning, and Jose Quintana, now 3-0 as a starting pitcher for the Brewers, allowing only 1 run and 6 hits in 6 innings of work. It was an 11-3 victory over the Giants on Tuesday night. Game 3 is tonight at 8:10. You can catch the game on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The news is not as bright for the Milwaukee Bucks. They are already in dire straits. Already looking at the potential for elimination in the first round of the playoffs again after losing game two to the Indiana Pacers 123-115 to go down 0-2 in the series. The Bucks lost despite the return of Damian Lillard. He'd been off for a month-long health scare. He's clearly not back at 100% yet. The team is far from 100%, and they're going to have to get off the schneid here pretty quickly. Game three is Friday. It's in Milwaukee, and it's on NBA TV. Got a question on the text line here from Randy in Madison asking, has the name of the Up North News morning show changed? What will it be for the name of the podcast? What we are now, and it's still an Up North News joint along with Civic Media Radio Network, but it's now Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That's me, and I'll have Todd Alba here next.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
And we greatly appreciate our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We have them with us right now. Trisha is with us. I said it wrong, didn't I?
No,
I did.
Good.
I did it right.
Yes,
okay, yeah.
Yes.
I'm so bad with names. Trisha is with us. She's the Child and Youth Service Coordinator with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. And Trisha, as I always mentioned before we get into this with our audience and with you, I am a board member at the Family mm-hmm. Center. I feel very strongly on this topic, and the audience is very aware of that. I want to get into a couple of things with you, but I think a great place to start is, of course, the current month we're in. And this month is Child Abuse Prevention Month.
It is.
And that is your wheelhouse. That is something you're very in tune with.
Yes. Yeah.
When it comes to approaching this month, what are some of the bigger things that you want to try to accomplish?
So, I mean, in Child Abuse Prevention Month, really it is to build awareness of that. I don't know if you, I haven't really seen a lot around in the city of Wisconsin Rapids, but blue pinwheels, those are a marker for Child Abuse Prevention Month, so you will see those places, communities, when they're supporting that and building awareness. And so part of the ways that you can spread awareness is by educating yourself. Really, you can just get information, whether that's online, you can get information from us. Just putting that, you know, in a Google search, you can find tons of different things about educating yourself, finding what there are for resources for you to be able to not only educate yourself, but others who might be, you know, in your family or community or friends that might need that help. Wearing blue on Fridays. Fridays is you wear blue. That's another awareness for child abuse prevention, and then just being able to talk about it. So like being here and being able to talk about it with you, that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're talking about topics with the Family Center, we're talking about domestic violence or some of these. There's a lot of things that we've hit on a number of times mm-hmm. over the years, especially when it comes to adults or even teenagers mm-hmm. With abuse and how difficult that can be for a survivor to come forward or to talk about these things, mm-hmm. whether it's for the first time or the 20th time. It can be quite difficult. Mm-hmm. Now, I want people to think about what it was like when they were a kid and they broke something and how difficult it was to go talk mm-hmm. to your parents or something. Now, not that a child did anything wrong, certainly. Right. But as a child, you are automatically you automatically blame yourself for yes. a lot of things and take things personal and think that it's your fault.
Yes.
And as I've mentioned to the audience before, I know a little bit of what I'm talking about mm-hmm. with this one. As a child who was abused, I had a babysitter that took advantage of me. Mm-hmm. And I can remember getting a little bit of flashback here, but I can remember actually telling my mom and dad what happened. Mm-hmm. And I was in the backseat of my dad's Monte Carlo. We were driving. It was raining out. And I was so scared because I thought I had broke the cookie jar. I thought I had done something wrong. Mm-hmm. We needed this babysitter, and mm-hmm. you know, I didn't want to mess that up. And I was seven, all these thoughts are going through my head and everything. Mm-hmm. That's almost any kid in that situation.
Yes.
I'm not sharing this stuff because I'm comfortable with it, to be honest with everybody, but mm-hmm. I think that this is the point of the month. This is what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And that is just one version of that story.
Yeah.
So imagine every child out there. You know, it is going to have something happen in life where they mess up or they break something or something like that. That's part of being a kid. Mm-hmm. I think we can all be better about that and have a little more grace with kids just in general.
Yes.
You know, but especially when it comes to this topic, because more times than not, I mean, I guarantee you that the majority of friends I had growing up and up until my mid to late 30s didn't know that I had been through something. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of kids out there that probably don't know or haven't shared what they've been through.
Right.
What we want to do as a society is create a world where they are that much more comfortable with yep. that sharing that information.
Yes.
All the things that Tricia just said are key and very well put and key and important to this conversation. One other factor that I just piggybacking on it, when you're having conversations with friends, with family, with any of these things, being aware of the little ears that are around mm-hmm. and how they pick this stuff up. I think that a lot of my fellow men out there will know what it's like to be in a locker room and you're hearing those off-color jokes.
Yep.
And we all know you don't need me to get into details. You know what I'm talking about there.
Yep.
Calling each other out on that. I think it's a big, big part of going forward as a society. Mm-hmm. That's not funny. It's not humor, mm-hmm. And it's actually pretty darn lame and very like dinosaur like. Yeah. Now you have that conversation, you tell those jokes, and you make it's just a joke. It's nothing big. Well, as somebody who was a kid in that room when those things were going around, mm-hmm. I'd okay, well, I can't talk to these guys about this. They think this subject's
right.
funny. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if I can talk to anybody in this school about this or any adult about this mm-hmm. And so on, and the domino continues. Mm-hmm. People are listening. People hear these things. It matters what you say around,
yes.
Whether it's closed doors or outside or what have you. It goes so much farther than I think we realize.
Yeah.
And the hesitancy to tell a joke can mean somebody opens up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it isn't a joke.
Yes, no, and there's nothing funny about it. Again, mm-hmm. it's not even funny. It's not even a good joke. It's not even any of that. So being more aware of who's around, who's listening, be more in tune with our own selves in the yeah. way we're presenting ourselves and present and talking. You just don't know who's listening that maybe gone, maybe have been through something mm-hmm. and would have shared with you otherwise.
Right.
And that's a big part of where we're going forward with this, too, because you may think, well, that's a stranger, whatever. What about a loved one? What about right. somebody you care about who might be holding something back or not sharing something because yes. they don't think you're an ally? They don't think that you're somebody that they can open up to. Mm-hmm. It's another big part of this month to me as far as you know, making it a real point here. I'd like to think that of all the things that could be controversial in this world, caring about kids mm-hmm. has got to be one of those ones where pretty much 100% of everybody out there, we're all good with this one. We all like kids. Yeah. You know, that seems like a pretty fair, safe thing to say. That's what we're talking about here, is making not only a better today for them, but a better tomorrow for them.
Yeah, because children grow up to be adults. Yeah. So you and I were kids that maybe had these things happen to us, but then we grow up. So how we respond to these children can determine how they respond in the future.
And, you know, before we know it, you know, maybe we create an even stronger world because of it, where it's just common for kids to grow up and be able to share these things if they happen.
CBS News Brief. The faithful are paying final respects to Pope Francis. St. Peter's Basilica has opened to the public after the pontiff's casket was transferred from his residence this morning. John McKay planned his trip from the UK before the Pope died Sunday.
We were meant to have an audience with him today, and we will do. But not in the way that we expected.
Pope died Monday. Markets are poised for a big open amid new optimism. The U.S. and China might be able to reach a trade deal. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
I think that the sentiment that they're trying to convey is that deals are coming. And, of course, we saw the markets react very positively.
Dow futures up 690. Secretary Kennedy says the health department's moving to phase out all petroleum-based food dyes. CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
Bright colors, attraction versus safe.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you want to see these studies done.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9.